I always like to think about events in the Bible and what would it be like to be there firsthand. I think about that all the time. So I just picked these four. The ascension of Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the prison break. I'll come back and talk about the prison break in a second. And the stoning of Stephen. Now, I know, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go see that.
But this prison break is something that I think we can kind of bump over relatively quickly. So I just want to point out something. We'll kind of get to this a little more in a little bit, but the high priest and the members of the Sadducees, it says, became filled with jealousy. And they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. Apostles, plural. We would assume that this would be all 12 apostles, including the new guy who's saying, "Did I sign up for this?" Right? As miracles would be miracles, an angel comes, lets them out of jail, and they head straight for the temple where they start teaching about Jesus again. Okay? So there's other stories of Peter getting out of prison and Paul and Silas in prison and all those kind of things. But I wanted to bring your attention to this one because I assume, by the way I read it, it was all 12, at least all 12 guys who got put in jail that night and just walked out. So, scenes that you would like to see be at first hand, how many would say the ascension would be the one that you would choose? A few? Okay. The coming of the Holy Spirit? Oh, okay, that's a big one. The prison break? Okay. The stoning of Stephen. Did anyone choose that one? I know, it's morbid, but, you know, I overheard Nate talking about, Nate and Julie were both saying, about what would that have been like to see that look on his face that's recorded and all those things. So, we'll talk about Stephen a little bit in a few minutes. But I want to talk about Pentecost. Pentecost is this word that we associate with the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we should. Because we have Pentecost Sunday where everybody's supposed to wear red and all that kind of stuff. And it is a great day of celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But Pentecost was Pentecost before the Holy Spirit came. This was a day of celebration. This was a time when people from all over would come to Jerusalem to celebrate. And they would stay there. It happened 50 days after the Passover, and the people would come, and they would stay, and they would celebrate. And what the people celebrated at Pentecost, does anyone know? They celebrated the giving of the law.
Giving of the law,
L-A-W? Harvest was involved, but part of that celebration was when God gave the law. And if you'll recall, God gave the law high on this mountain where Moses was, and the people were down below, and there was thunder and lightning and smoke, and the people trembled with fear and said, "Do not have God talk to us. Let God talk to you, Moses, because this is just too big a deal." And God carved the law on stone, and Moses came down and gave it to the folks, gave it to the people of Israel. Those Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. Pentecost was, in part, a celebration of the giving of the law, with thunder and lightning, smoke and fire and terrifying things, and then we have this law, these Ten Commandments that we can follow, and we can make up other rules to help us follow those rules and all those things, but these Ten laws about how we respond to God and laws about how we treat each other, the people that God loves. That's was what was being celebrated in part at Pentecost. And so we have the giving of the law being celebrated, and God says, you know what? I'm going to give you something else on this day. On this day when we celebrate the things I give, I'm going to give you something brand new. Now, I've always heard it taught that the disciples were gathered in the upper room when this happened. Does that sound familiar to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the text, it just says they were together in one place. And some of the scholars that I read said, no, 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 not upper room. That's not where those guys were. These folks had a habit of being in the temple. We don't know what it would be like to live a life surrounded, that was surrounded by and centered on the temple. The folks would go to the temple twice a day, 9 a.m., 3 p.m. We live lives where we get up at dark 30, and some of us are at work by 7 o'clock. Most of us are at work by 8:30 or 9 anyway. And we work and we work and we do our things. Maybe we take a lunch break and we get home. We drag ourselves home at 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And we get up the next day and we do it again. And then we find this day, Saturday, when, well, we're busy doing all the stuff that we didn't get done during the week. And then Sunday when we hopefully go and worship. And then that's kind of how we have our pattern. But these folks get up in the morning, have something to eat, go to temple. And pray and talk. And then they'd leave. And they'd go and do their business. And then they'd go to temple. And they would pray. And they would talk some more. And then they would leave and they would go have dinner. And the next morning, they'd come back. And every day, they just went, that was the center of where they would go. So the disciples, the apostles, and the disciples, these 120 folks, were in that habit of going, and they would go every day, and they would stand there at 9 o'clock, and they would say their prayers, and then they would start talking about Jesus, who fulfilled everything in the Old Testament, and how Jesus had died and been resurrected, and Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that we have in our scriptures, and they would tell the folks that, and people would listen, and then this one day, they were in one place. Some assume it was the temple, and look what happens. Fire, a great sound of a rushing mighty wind and fire coming and resting on them. And then they start talking. They start talking about all the things that they have seen, all the things that Jesus had done, and they start talking in languages that were suited to all these foreigners who had come from out of town for Pentecost. And all these foreigners are looking at them saying, you know, just by their headgear and the way they wear their beards, I can tell these folks are from Galilee. I assume they were talking about the men, not the ladies, sorry. But we know these folks are from Galilee, yet we hear them in our language proclaiming the glories of God and how this risen Christ was, and there's confusion, and some of them said, well, you know, they're just drunk. They're just drunk. Because I know when I get drunk, I speak Spanish. How about you? Depends on what I'm drinking, I guess. I get to edit these recordings that we put online, so I assure you I'll be taking that out because my mom listens to them. Hi, Mom. There.
She thought you spoke French.
Right. Well, it depends on what I'm drinking, I guess. However, some made fun of them in saying they've had too much wine. But Peter stands up, and we get this picture sometimes, I think, because we become familiar with the story that Peter stood up and started talking. But what's it say in verse 14? Peter stood up with the other 11 and said, Peter, whose focus was witness to the resurrection, who wanted people to know and believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter stood there with five guys on one side and six guys on the other, who stood beside him in agreement while Peter gave the speech. I find that fascinating. But Peter's not doing this alone. But the guys are there saying, yep, we saw it too. We were with him for those 40 days. We saw him eat. We saw him rise into heaven. We saw it. So Peter gives this great speech, which I either hope that you will read or I hope that you read this week. But at the end of the speech, when he talks about Jesus the Messiah and how he was crucified and rose from the dead and how the Old Testament is being fulfilled because God's Spirit is being poured out, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, even as far as Flushing, Michigan, in the 21st century." Peter said, "It's for you guys and your kids and those people way out there." And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So prior to this, the numbers that is talked about in Acts, we've got the 12 apostles and about 120 other men and women who were believers. Imagine how busy those people were. Seriously. Imagine that. We've got 3,000 people who are believing because the Holy Spirit. And we've got 120 people who are baptizing. I wonder if those who put their faith in Christ and came forward to baptize were immediately charged with, "We need some help here. I've only been a Christian for 5 minutes, but I'm baptizing other people who are going to be Christians." I mean, did it happen that way? I think those of you that responded, I want to see the day of Pentecost, you can imagine stuff like that happening, right? Congratulations. Welcome to the family. We've got a lot of work to do. And people, 3,000 people. You can imagine what's going on in the heads of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who thought they pretty well had this thing under control. And God just says, "Oh, no, it's out of control. Totally out of control." Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit very specifically at the end of the Gospel of John. John records the things that he had to say about the Holy Spirit. And I want to take a few minutes, if you would, to read those to each other at your tables and to just answer this one question. How do you think life on earth was different before the day of Pentecost? Meaning without the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, a couple of short passages from John and then talk amongst yourselves.